Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form Zen Fighting Champion John Chong, and you are listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, connecting the history, one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
This program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
Well, aloha, everybody. This is Professor Gary Lee with the Sport Karate Museum. Welcome to Parts Unknown, our live radio show broadcast that's been in your home every Tuesday night for the past 10 years. Wow, 10 years, and I'm so excited about it. But tonight, one of my co-hosts, Mr. A.J. Perry, has a night off because he's gone to the Cleveland Hall of Fame, where he's the only martial artist inducted into that Hall of Fame. So we're going to say he's here in spirit, but he won't be here tonight. But, you know, before I introduce my co-host who's been with me for a year, I'd like to bring on the producer. The man who's put me on the air for 10 years, ladies and gentlemen, in your home every Tuesday night. And I'm talking about Mr. Jesse Bowen. Auntie, are you there, sir?
I am, sir. How are you doing?
Wow, I can't believe 10 years, sir. That's a long time. Well,
wow, 10 years.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's been a good ride. Now, you're doing something very special this Sunday. I saw your advertising where your lovely wife, Gwen, has a church. So you're actually going to be giving a sermon. Tell me a little bit about what's going on with that this Sunday.
Well, I'm doing my initial service as a minister, and this is going to be happening this Sunday. You know, God has called me deeper into the ministry, and, you know, has given me my mission, my calling that I'm working to try to make a difference in the world, you know, and as a speaker and coach, I'm always trying to do that. But now a deeper purpose. So I'll be doing my initial service. God's laid on my heart to teach and write and minister on forgiveness. So this is where my sermon and what I'm doing is, you know, teaching about love, about, you know, forgiveness. This is a special service just for me to realize I have grown to this next level spiritually, and, you know, prepared to share that with the world. So that's what's happening this, you know, this upcoming week. I've got a lot of people that are coming out, martial arts family that's coming out to support that. It will be online, Greater Vision Christian Church. On their website, so it will be aired live, but I invite, you know, everyone to come out. You know, we all are growing, we're all developing, and, you know, this is my spiritual walk of my own personal, you know, walk with God.
Now, what time will that be on Sunday?
That's going to be 4 p.m. Eastern time.
Okay. And if anybody wants to listen to it, you say you're going to be on Zoom?
Yeah, well, it's going to be our church page is Greater Vision Christian Church. And it will be aired there, and I'll post that, but Greater Vision Christian Church is the Facebook page.
Cool. Now, we're doing something very special this year. I'm honoring Karen Eden Herman and all the ladies across the nation, and you're doing something very special with our friend Alan Goldberg. Tell my listeners a little bit about that and about the book.
Okay. Well, yes, we are through the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation, which is our nonprofit organization. We are hosting the Women's Hall of Honors, representing ladies who achieved black belt before 2000, and recognizing them for their accomplishments in the martial arts, their contributions in the first Women's Hall of Black Belt Hall of Honors. And this is going to be happening January the 27th in Atlantic City in conjunction with Sifu Goldberg's event. So we're really excited about it. Getting a lot of response, a lot of ladies that were, Karen Shepherd is involved, and, several other key martial artists from back in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s who are, Christina Bannon, she's involved, Cynthia, Linda Denley. So it's really a great group of ladies pulling this together, and we're doing this for two parts. Number one is to support breast cancer, our support towards that, and also we are setting up a program just to focus on, battered women that are, going through abuse or situations. We're trying to find those areas that we can help. And, so those are just some of the things that we're planning on doing this upcoming year, is really for the foundation, is to get out more and support in the community.
Well, I know we're honoring Terry Herdman in October 6th and 7th, and we're working together to honor all the ladies, all the amazing ladies that have contributed not only to the martial arts, but to the guys they've been beside for all those amazing years. And now, let me ask you a question, Jesse. How long have you had the AMAA?
The AMAA was established in 2003.
Wow, okay.
Yeah,
we
were actually doing the American Martial Arts Alliance Hall of Fame, and this was back, that's how Grandmaster Coral and I actually know each other. He was one of our speakers. So we go back, the first one was held in 2003. So we've been around for a while. We're not a new organization, and supporting sport karate, because that's what we really were doing in the beginning, is to provide a place for martial artists to compete through our tournament circuits and then our AMA Nationals and the Hall of Fame.
Well, Terry made a good point about doing something special for our 10-year celebration, and, I know you'll put your creative juices together, we'll come up with something cool. But thank you for allowing us to be part of the AMAA network, and hopefully we're on for another 10 years.
Well, we sure hope so.
Well, I know that Dean is on the road. He just called, so he's going to call you personally. So hook him up here in a minute. We're just waiting on David Chambers. But, ladies and gentlemen, that was Hunty Jesse Bowen, my producer, and I would like to say time tonight, AJ. We're going to miss you, and Dina will be on in a few minutes, and I'll get to introduce him, but we'll go right into my special guest. One of my special guests tonight, James Cook didn't call in yet, did he, Auntie?
No, sir.
Okay. His wife had a stroke earlier today, so I'm sure that he's dealing with that. But tonight we have another very special guest. And I got to meet him at the event last week through Eric Lee. And he does the Martial Arts Film Festival. And Leo, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Leo, welcome to the show. Now, we're working together on something very special, and I'm going to let you tell our listeners how they get involved with helping with the Sport Quad Museum and also helping you make your event very special. So I'm going to give you the kind of that threshold here for the next couple minutes to talk about what you're doing for the museum. Okay, Leo, go ahead.
Yes, Professor Gary, thank you so much. And I did not know, so let me also congratulate you on 10 years of, you know, education, information, and service, both to your listeners and to the sport karate community. I was very fortunate that, you know, Eric invited me to your Sport Karate Museum event last weekend and got the pleasure to meet you and a bunch of other people. And what we're doing is we are putting on the first ever U.S. Martial Arts Movies Only Film Festival here in Scottsdale, Arizona. We're going to be doing it a week before the Super Bowl out in Scottsdale, February 2nd to February 5th. And part of our proceeds are going to go back to your cause and help support the Sport Karate Museum. And for anybody who wants to learn more information about the festival, some of the artists and celebrities we've invited and the movies we'll be screening, they can go to the Film Festival website at www.usmaff.com. That's the acronym for U.S. Martial Arts Film Festival, usmaff.com. We've got a lot of martial arts movie stars coming, and we've got it's the 50th anniversary of Enter the Dragon, and we'll be screening Enter the Dragon and The Big Boss, Chinese Connection, Drunken Master with Jackie Chan, 36 Chamber with Gordon Liu. Like, we've got a bunch of great movies and a bunch of great superstars that we're going to be able to connect with fans from all over the country and potentially all over the world.
Well, I know you're bringing in my buddy Don the Dragon Wilson, Ron Van Cleef.
Yes, sir.
Cynthia Robinson.
We're bringing in
Eric Lee.
Yep.
Billy Blank.
Yep.
Cheryl Akamura.
Yes, sir.
Chu Lee.
Yep.
James Blue, my old buddy. TJ Storm. Dragon Dronette. My dear friend Rick Avery. Angel Mayo. King Pepe. Janice Hong. And more to come.
More to come. We can't actually announce some others that we don't have yet, but you know, everybody stay tuned because a couple of those super, super, superstars are just right on the verge of saying yes.
Cool. Now, what exactly are you doing for the museum? I know there's like a three-day pass people can purchase, and then you'll give back to the Sport Karate Museum. Explain that in a little bit more detail.
Yes, so on the website, you know, we've got the website is active right now for people to buy the 4-day pass to the film festival. For every purchase where somebody puts in the coupon code SKM for Sport Karate Museum, you put in SKM in that coupon code, and we're going to donate $50 to the Sport Karate Museum from that initial purchase.
Wow, thank you so much.
Yes,
I
sir.
I hope you had a great time last weekend because, you know, I really worked hard on bringing some really quality people together, which you met. And, you know, did you have a good time, Eric?
Gary, I had such a fantastic time. I mean, not just, you know, in meeting the people, there are all these people who have dedicated their lives to, you know, karate and the sport of karate and tournaments. But they're really of high character, and you had demonstrations and the banquet, and it was just a fantastic time. I was really honored to be there.
Well, thank you. And I really enjoyed our breakfast with my daughter and my black belt that we had. And we got to, you know, talk about the future and some of the cool things that we're going to be able to do together. And thank you for being on the show tonight, Eric. And we're going to bring you back on a few more times before the festival. But, you know, together we're going to make this thing really, really exciting. Now, I know that you said something about the Super Bowl is going to be a week before or a week after.
The Super Bowl is 1 week after our festival. We have our festival is on the weekend of February 2nd to the 5th. Then the next weekend, the Super Bowl, the NFL Super Bowl will be here in town. And for those of people who love golf, the Phoenix Open, probably the hottest golf tournament of the year, is also going to be in town. So we have a bunch of really great things happening all around our festival, and there'll be people and celebrities and energy, and it's just going to be a fantastic time.
Wow, that is really cool. Well, thank you again, Leo, for allowing us to be a part of your vision, and we want to help you as much as we can to get the word out about what you're doing. So thank you again for being on this show. God bless you, Leo.
Yeah, thank you as well, Gary. I really appreciate the support, and God bless you and the Sport Karate Museum.
Thank you, Leo. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, what's really cool about what we do with Parts Unknown, we bring some really cool people to the show, not just to interview, but tell you about some of the exciting things that is happening. Now, if you want to find more about the Sport Karate Museum, you can go to www.sportkaratemuseumarchive.com, and you can see the amazing webpage that our 4+1 star, Professor Thomas Feldman, has put together. Now, you know, I'm waiting on Dean. Dean, you on there yet? Dean Pyle? Okay, he's trying to reach in, I'm sure. But, you know, normally we have two co-hosts I introduce. One is Dean Pyle, and the other one is A.J. Perry. Now, A.J. is actually at the Cleveland Hall of Fame, and he is the only martial artist that has been inducted into the Cleveland Sports Hall of Fame. So we wish him a great time tonight. And Dean is on his way to Alabama, so I'm sure he'll be on in a few minutes. And did David Chambers get on the line yet? Okay, so David's not on the air. But I'm going to go ahead and introduce the lady of our group. Now, a few months ago, we created a segment called the 4+1. Four martial artists around the country who represent different styles of martial arts as a plus one. And that is a man named James Moore. And I'd like to bring on the lady of the group, PKL champion. He's trained in Shorter Karate. She's an A3 black belt, and now she's very active in Kung Fu. And I'm talking about the lovely Karen Flasher. Karen, you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Now, you notice I put lovely there in front of your name tonight. That's an extra check in the mail, okay?
Oh, I love it. I'll take it.
I hear
my
you.
Age, I'll take it.
Well, let me just ask you right off the bat. Did you have a good time last weekend?
Yeah, I did. I was hurting a little bit, but it was just, I forgot all about it, you know, once I was there. I fell on the way in. I hurt my arm. But I was fine, you know, and it was so good to see everybody again. I just love it. It's so good to see you, Gary.
Well, thank you. Now, Karen, you're very special to me because you brought me some really incredible relics, you know, from the past, like from Peter Urban and stuff. But I have a very special question tonight, and I really want your opinion on this. Here's the question.
Okay. All right.
Okay. State, national, and world champions in sport karate. What is the difference you feel? Is it all just hype? How do you feel about those different levels?
I was really thinking about this, and I remember there used to be the Garden State Games, which was considered the state championship, and that was a big deal. And to win grand in that was a big deal. But when in the 80s, the heyday of local tournaments started, they would have, you could name your tournament anything you wanted. So you could call it the Philly Nationals or something like that. It lost its sparkle as far as that went. And then people really started going more toward the rating and the rating system. So a AAA tournament, if you won that, that was a national. That was what you really wanted to win, were the ones that were rated highly on these rating boards. So I think it kind of lost its flash when there were so many tournaments to go to. Every weekend there were two or three. And the Nationals, like the Diamond State and all of them, they still really matter. They're biggies. Atlanta, Battle of Atlanta, things like that, they still have – they're still the prize. But
right,
mostly state,
right.
Nah, not anymore.
Well, you know, I remember winning a state championship was a big deal, and then the national championships was a big deal to qualify to go another big event. And like you said, the Battle, Long Beach, the Diamond – these were major, major events. And then the world championships started coming about where everybody put together a world championship. Now, there were legitimate ones, of course, but I didn't understand going to a tournament that said it was a world championship. There was only like three states represented and one country, like Canada or Guatemala,
yeah,
or Mexico, and they called it a world championship. And you know, but, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, I appreciate your opinion, Karen. You be safe.
Okay.
Take care of that arm and get it,
yes,
better.
Yes, I will.
You, okay? Now,
okay,
remember, next
you.
Year, we're going to honor all the girls, including you, because you're not a girl.
Yeah,
anymore.
That would be nice.
You're
I'd
lady.
Like to be honored. I've
yes,
been around
yes,
a while.
Yes, well, get your ticket together, because I really want you to be there next year, too, so I can show you off a little bit, okay?
Okay. I'll be happy
cool.
to be there.
Okay.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Ms. Karen Slatcher, my dear friend of the 4+1 from North Carolina by way of New Jersey. Now, did David Chambers get on the line yet? We move along to one of my favorite people in the whole world. Now,
yes,
I call him.
Can you hear me, sir? Can you hear me?
Good. Yeah, let me introduce you, David. David, I've known since he was an orange belt. And actually, I got to coach him to his first under belt world championship in ski at an NBL event at the Super Grand when he was an orange belt. But we've been friends for a long time. But now he is the president of the AOK, which is the Amateur Organization of Karate, the largest sport association in Texas. Now, that's all cool and dandy, but what I love about introducing about this man, he is a five-time MVP of Texas, who's won the Golden Greek Award over five times. One of these days, he'll tell me exactly how many, but I get to brag about him. Five different times he's won it. Now, it took me 17 years to win just one. This is how cool this man is. I'm talking about Mr. David Chambers. Hey, David, welcome to the show,
yes.
buddy.
Oh, now, my pleasure. Yes, sir.
Well, I got a great question for tonight, buddy. Here we go. State, national, and world champions in sport karate. What is the difference you feel? Is it just hype or is it real?
On November the 12th of this year, we have the USKA state finals. On December the 2nd and the 3rd, we have the AOK state finals. These are events that have two major things that's really important about them. Would they actually shine a light as bright as they did 20 years ago? Not even close. But if you show up, you're going to have strong competition. And what's make it real is that you're going to have to win. You're going to have to do something. And anytime you have somebody in front of you, it's going to mean something. So, one, is the state finals real? Yes, they real. Are they yesterday? No, they're not yesterday. No, it's no comparison. World titles, are they real? Some of them are. Are they yesterday? Nowhere close. But, again, they are what they have now. You do have to do something to get that, and right now you got to do it. So I'm excited about the opportunity we have. And I'm an AOK bound. I'm now working with the USKA. They've been doing a great job. And these events through Event Red, you can register for now. And if you think you're that good, I suggest you to do so. And you can see it's a strong competition. So, they are real. They're just not a comparison to yesterday.
Yes, sir. And I know you're working with my buddy Buster Cotton with the USKA, and, you know, the USKA was one of the first real authentic organizations in America run by Mr. Robert Trias. And to bring the AOK and the USKA together, that's amazing. That's why you're the president of the AOK.
Well, so. They also told me I'm supposed to mention to you, sir, that on the 10th, they're doing the Alliance World Finals. That's the, what we call the AOK Virtual. So so they have a World Finals with that one. You got people from Bermuda, Florida, Washington, D.C. will be participating. So they are great opportunities, great opportunities. So let's get busy with them.
Well, also, I was told by Tammy tonight to remind everybody how good looking you were at the event last weekend where you wore all white. That was an amazing outfit you wore, buddy. I loved it. I loved it.
Thank you, sir. You got me some good pictures. I really enjoyed it. I really want to say thank you. I don't think I thanked you enough for all the things you've done for so many people.
Well, I'm a workaholic, and I've got a great group of people behind me, and I'm very, very excited about what's going on in Fort Karate as we speak. You know, we got a movie, we got a slot machine, we got a lot of cool things that are happening with the Fort Karate Museum, and it wouldn't have happened without the support I've had for 30 years. And I want to thank you for your opinion, and I wish you luck on your tournament. And I'm looking forward to it. You're going to have a virtual tournament where you said maybe I could be a judge. Is that correct?
That is true. I mean, people like you that have that experience, we'd be honored to have you in front of the camera saying, you know, of course. Without a doubt, I'll get that information to you.
Cool. Well, thank you, D. Thank you, David Chambers. I'm going to move right along.
Totally my
now,
pleasure.
Yes, sir. Now, this next man, he is one of my favorite people in the whole world. He was someone that I idolized 25, 30 years ago, and now I get the pleasure of calling him Uncle Jerry. Now, I mean that because in Hawaii, if you call somebody uncle, you consider them to be Ohana family. And this man is a Marine, first of all. Secondly, he worked at Black Belt Magazine in the heyday in the beginning, and he's also the co-founder and president of the Black Karate Federation. I'm talking about the amazing Jerry Smith. Uncle Jerry?
Yes, sir.
Good evening, sir. Good evening.
Good evening to you.
Now, we had an interesting conversation, as always, earlier today, and I really want your opinion on the question. Is national world champions in Sport Karate, what is the difference you feel? Is it all hype?
Well, I have the fact that I've been a coach and a trainer on amateur and the professional level. I have some real strong views about this, as a matter of fact. Almost all states have local tournaments. There's state tournaments like California State Championship. There's national tournaments. There's international tournaments. And there's also, you know, world championships. But to me, that's just a word. I mean, I won't even go into some of the names of the tournaments. And they're basically local tournaments. But, there's a reason for these tournaments. As someone said earlier, local tournaments are rated, state tournaments are rated, and national tournaments. And if a beginner works his way up through those tournaments, they're invited to other rated tournaments. Now, this is interesting. Years ago, I had already retired from competition and was training, everyone was looking forward to martial arts actually getting into the Olympics. And that was, so we were all excited about that. I actually got some calls from the AAU, and nothing ever came of it, but I did get some calls from it. And what happened was, the Korean Karate Federation, the Koreans, I'll just say it that way, got there first, because before you can actually get in the, you know, become a part of the Olympics, you have to go through the Amateur Athletic Union, the AAU. And the fact that they were there first, they did their job, they did well. The first karate finally made it into the Olympics, but it was Taekwondo. And it was, if you weren't a Taekwondo player, you didn't get into the international. I mean, excuse me, into the Olympics. And that was very sad because they didn't accept any opens, and that kind of wiped out, and it's still that way. That's why when you see the Olympic karate matches, they're all Taekwondo, mostly kitchen. And the Koreans got there first, and that is the way that it is at this point. Hopefully, they will open it up to our staff, and I would have loved to have competed in an Olympic tournament. You know, being in a three-time international team champion, that would have been a great. And also, let me back up a little bit. There's also, once you fight your way through the local, state, nationals, internationals, you can turn pro. Once you turn pro, it's considered fighting for a prize. That's what they call boxing, what used to be called prize fighting. If you accept money for fighting, you won't be able to fight in the Olympics. The AAU will not let you because you have to go through the AAU before you can be selected to fight in the Olympics. So yeah. I hope I cast a little light on the way that it works. But to go back to what you said at first, all of these tournaments, local, state, national, international, world, all these tournaments are important to get you to the point where you want to go. If you want to go professional and fight for a prize, fine. If you just want to be amateur and then work your way into the Olympics through the AAU, you can do that as well. And I hope that casts a little bit of light on how I feel about it.
It does. And you mentioned the Olympics. I had the pleasure of introducing and having her speak at the event last weekend for Roy Kerbin, Ms. Arlene Lemus, the only gold medalist. Well, Dana, he won also back in the day, but Arlene Lemus was a open point karate champion, and she went on to win a gold medal in the World Olympics, and she was at the event last weekend speaking for Roy Kerbin. And have you ever met Arlene, Uncle Jerry?
I have not, but I would love to.
She was a fighter out of Chicago, and she was a kung fu woman. Then she trained in Taekwondo, of course. And she won a gold medal, and proud that she was part of the event last weekend. But as always, I appreciate your opinion and your insight and your wisdom, and I wish you the very best. So thank you so much. Now,
thank you.
A protege of the man we just talked to, Mr. Jerry Smith, who is now a professor and the web designer of the Sport Karate Museum, and a new mentor of mine. I'm so proud that he's done what he's done. And remind you, if you want to see the work he's done, go to www.sportkarateMuseumArchives, A-R-C, HIBES.com. I'm talking about 5th degree black belt, Professor Tom Spellman. Tom, is there, buddy?
I sure am. And thanks very much, Gary.
You're welcome, Tom. Now, here's the question, buddy. State, national, world champions in sport karate. What is the difference you feel? Is it just all hype? How do you feel about that, Tom?
Well, you know, if we look at some of the history, just to kind of get a perspective, you know, Trias, who you mentioned, you know, from that created the USKA, his first tournament was the Arizona Karate Championships in 1956.
Yeah.
But he's best known in 1963 for the first World Karate Champions in Chicago.
That but Algie won that, didn't he? Algie Krella.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, he was
as a brown belt. He was a brown belt.
Yeah. Yeah, well, back in those days, brown belts would very often fight, and sometimes that was the way they actually stepped over into into black belt, you know, by winning against all the black belts. So, you know, there was still kind of a mystique about being a black belt in the first place back in those days. But,
yeah.
You know, we had these tournaments that go back as far as, you know, that 63 first world karate tournament, and you can't imagine it. The whole world showing up, you know, in Arizona at that particular time, or in Chicago, rather, you know, and John Keenan, of course, was there, and he was very flamboyant, so I'm sure he had something to do with that idea. So,
yeah.
You know, in 1956, you know, Trias had that tournament in Arizona, and in 1957, Mr. Oshima was asked to demonstrate karate at Nisei Week in Little Tokyo, Japan, Los Angeles. And that became one of the longest-running karate tournaments in America every week for that time since 1957. So we've got all kinds of different varieties of local tournaments, of special interest tournaments like Mr. Oshima and Mr. Nishiyama, who was one of Sensei Smith's instructors back in the day. You know, had their own following and so on and so forth, and of course Mr. Oshima was, as Sensei was talking about, was connected with the AAU. I had there. I actually had to re-up my membership for another year with the AAU to be able to fight. So, you know, there was a lot of interesting, you know, national and other you know, advantages, but you know, it comes down to the person, world, state, whatever it is. If that person meeting and engaging another person, you know, on that mat, on those marks, and doing their best, and you know, going forward and being the warrior that they are, and so the whole world is right there when they're focused on that opponent, what they're doing and how they're progressing. And win, lose, or draw, it's an experience that you learn from and you grow from. So, you know, for people that are drawn to the idea of a name or a title, you know, perhaps that's something that sells tickets or gets people to join or people to show up. The warriors that show up there and put themselves on that mark, bow in and do their job, that are really the ones that are the champions. They're really the ones that are the winners. And
yes,
win, lose, or draw, no matter what the title is, they are champions in their own way because they're championing their own fears and their own concerns, and they're getting out there, and with good sportsmanship and good control, they are demonstrating and putting our art out there for the public to see and to be drawn into and perhaps join us in the journey.
Yes, sir. And, you know, your wisdom is so important because you've added so much to the Sport Karate Museum webpage, and I appreciate you so much, Tom. Now, that takes care of the four guys, the four amazing people we put together. Kerry Slatson from North Carolina, Professor Tom Spellman from Oregon, Uncle Jerry Smith from Las Vegas, and David Chambers from Houston, Texas. But the plus one is a very, very, very important man in the museum. He is a writer for the webpage. He's a financial advisor for the Sports Card Museum. And he has also written one of the articles that's going to be published in Blotto Magazine and MA Success, Action Martial Arts Magazine, Taekwondo Times, all these magazines that cover our karate. I'm talking about Mr. James Moore. Uncle Jim?
I am here, sir.
Wow, what a show we got going on tonight. But what's your opinion of what the question is, sir? State, national, world champions in sport karate. What is the difference, you feel? Is it all hype, or what is it to you?
You know, I also talked with Uncle Jerry at length this afternoon, and I don't know that I have a whole lot to add. I really haven't gone to a lot of tournaments in recent years. I was thinking today, you know, what are some of the last ones I went to, and I think probably the Takabota tournament in L.A. This is going a little further back, but I did have the honor of watching what turned out to be Billy Blank's last tournament in Los Angeles, and he won it. He was absolutely amazing. Yeah, he was absolutely amazing. And when I met him a couple times, and I remember talking about that tournament, and he had this red lightning bolt down the side of his gi pants, and he was quite something. I know that Uncle Jerry mentioned about Taekwondo and the Olympics, and my understanding is that there is a U.S. Olympic karate team that's in the works. I think martial artist and writer Jose Fraguas, I think he has something involved with that, so maybe that's something that's going to happen here at some point in time. As far as hype, I guess one thought I have is just kind of an anecdotal, but there was I remember reading some marketing materials done by a martial arts instructor, and I won't mention the name. Somebody I know is a very, very good martial artist, and I understand a very good fighter, even though I never saw him. But when he went through his marketing piece, and I know we have to all sell and market, I get that, but he went through his whole list of all his awards and rankings and everything. At the very end, he said, and he has the much coveted international grand champion, and it just stopped there. And I thought, what international grand champion? What tournament would he have been in and all that? So I thought that was maybe a little bit over the top, but maybe that was a little bit of hype, but I guess we all have to sell and market to a certain extent.
Well,
let me tell you a funny
story about my friend Billy, one of my history jokes. You mentioned Billy Blanks. It was 1972 or 3, and, you know, Billy was an amazing fighter even back in the early days, and he had this technique called the cartwheel kick. And he was literally knocking people out with that kick. And I trained for that kick. I mean, I had Blackwell burn it and throw it at me, and I would say there's no way that Billy's going to knock me out. And I beat a guy named Steve Perry, and I had to fight Billy. And Billy knocked me out with that cartwheel kick. I trained for it hard. And I told everybody, there's no way Billy Blanks is going to knock me out with that. But he did, God bless him. And Billy's a great guy, and he's a good history general. And, you know, I'm glad you got to mention him because, you know, he's a real world champion. Not only the inventor of Taibo, which is world known, but he was a real world champion, Billy Blanks. And I'm so glad you got to mention him. Now,
yeah, he's amazing.
You know, Uncle Jim, I want to say something to you publicly. You just recently wrote the article, or one of the articles, for the event that we had last weekend, and it's amazing. I've sent it out, and I sent it out to a lot of people around the world, and I've got a big response from people who love it. You're a great writer, and I'm excited about, in the future, you doing more stories to be added onto the webpage. And again, www.sportkaratemuseumarchives.com. And some of your stories will be there. And, you know, thank you for writing that article, and it means so much. Now, you got to meet some really cool people last weekend, correct?
Oh, so many amazing people. Karen, we finally got to meet face-to-face. AJ, unfortunately, I missed David. We had to cut out a dinner a little bit earlier because we had an early flight out. But, you know, my dear friend Eric Lee, I mean, it's just the list goes, Rick Avery, even the list just goes on and on of the quality of people there. And I just wanted to mention that Val Mihailovic, who owns Masters Magazine, has already given us the thumbs up to publish the article. And thank you for your nice comments. I appreciate that. And I'm just going to ask one request from anybody who was at the event. If you have two or three, you know, good pictures of the event, please text them to me. And I think we'd need some pictures to put into the article. And
well, how would they get in touch with you, Jim?
My cell
phone.
Phone
number. How would they get in touch with you?
Probably just text it to my cell phone. That's fine, or whatever. Call me or email me. Whatever you want to do.
Well, go ahead, if you don't mind, to the world who's listening. What's your phone number that can text it to you?
You know, I think I'll tell you what. Let me do that offline with our group that I know is there. Probably better, I think.
There you go. Okay.
And but Uncle Gary, you're somebody. You're one of those rare and unique and wonderful human beings that when you ask people to do things, you can't say no.
Well, thank you. Well, now I can say I can't do anything without you, because you're really a big part of the museum. And thank you so much for your opinion tonight. Now, I want to say something. AJ is off tonight. Dean is on the road on his way to Alabama. So, you know, I they're not going to be on the air tonight, apparently, unless Dean gets on the air. But I want to put a big shout-out to my friend James Cook, who is going to be a special guest tonight. But at the last minute, his wife, I think, had a stroke, and he's in the hospital, I'm sure, with her. So we'll bring him back at another time. That's Cookie Monster, the great James Cook from the old USK Grand Champion from the day. But now I want to move along with another segment that we do every week. And he was there last weekend at the event showing off his great new invention, SetVR.app. That means self-defense, enhanced training in virtual reality. It was an amazing, amazing demonstration of what he did and the people they met. I'm talking about the inventor, one of the inventors, Dr. Reginald Lee. Reggie, you're there, buddy?
Yes, I am. Good evening, sir. How are you? And congratulations on your 10-year.
I know. Isn't that exciting? Can you believe that?
I'm super excited.
And he's been with me for a year, but we made a little bit of history last weekend by introducing SetVR to a lot of major influences. But tell people exactly what SetVR is in your vision, and share with people what SetVR is and what it can do and what we're dealing with. Go ahead, Dr. Reginald Lee, ladies and gentlemen.
Sure. First, I would like to say thank you, Professor Garley and the Sports Karate Museum, for having SetVR and my developers at your most recent amazing event at Houston, Texas. I didn't think you would top the previous event, but you did it. I would like also to thank those, especially John Terry, president of the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame, for stopping by our booth and allowing us to have him place our Oculus headset on him and to engage the hologram attacker, which he had made some comments in regards to on his Facebook page on the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame. So I like to quote what he said on that page. Quote, imagine being able to immerse your students into a virtual training environment where they can confront simulated attacks just like they may encounter them on the street. That's the power of a new technology being developed for the martial arts industry, SetVR. I recently got to beta test the prototype. stepping into a 3D world where I was confronted by an attacker and had to fight back to defend myself. This will be a powerful tool in the martial arts school owner's toolbox, unquote. We have set seem to be yes, that was super excited. He just placed that on his platform on Facebook. So we're happy to see that. So I appreciate him doing that for us. We at SetVR continue to be super excited about SetVR self-defense enhancement training and virtual reality as a platform where one can continue to practice their skills and self-defense anytime, anywhere, when you want. The program is portable and compact. You can take it anywhere you travel, and even during a pandemic, to continue to practice your skills in self-defense while practicing social distancing. With the Oculus Rift or Oculus Quest headset, you'll be transported to a virtual reality platform whereby a hologram will confront and attack you when you least expect it with random attacks. The goal of SetVR is able to have you to neutralize a threat or an attack that is sudden, unpredictable, and random. You'll be able to practice to improve your skills in evasion through angular, linear, or circular movements to avoid and to place you into an opportunist position of an advantage for neutralization as you practice to improve your skills in timing, speed, and accuracy as you develop muscle memory and subsequently the goal of developing a reflex response to a threat or stimulus to neutralize an attack without hesitation. Just as Professor Garley gives metaphors, our metaphor is like if you placed your hand on a hot stove, you take your hand off the hot stove because of a reflex response. SetVR will help you develop that reflex response. This is a platform whereby you can in practice to utilize what you've been trained in your schools and dojos and katas or an application against a stimulus or a random attack to practice anytime, anywhere, when you want. We've implemented a program of mindfulness of stretching, meditation exercise, and we'll also present you with your own personal yoga instructor. We will continue to update SetVR in the future to help you to practice to maximize the application of self-defense when you want and where you want. So please continue to visit us at our website at setvr.app. That's SETVR.app. We continue to be proud to endorse Professor Gary Lee and the Sports Karate Museum to be the future platform for the history portal for which SetVR has introduced Professor Gary Lee as the wisdom warrior in the history portal demo at the entrance into the history portal. But before meeting the wisdom warrior, one must neutralize the hologram attacker at the gate of the history portal. With that being said, Professor Galley, some few words about your vision of the history museum in the virtual reality platform of SetVR.
Well, Reggie, my vision is very simple. Educator. I want to educate, and I feel that's what we're doing. We have a core group. We're going to start with the owner of Black Belt Magazine and the owner of Century Martial Arts, Mr. Mike Gillard and his profile, Mr. Roy Kerman, the inventor of the two-point kick rule around the world, Mr. George Minshew, the very first producer to actually award a gold ring in open competition, Ms. Chris Minshew, an NBL world champion, and then periodically we're going to add a new history general and teach their profile to the people who beat the hologram. And I'm very excited about what the developers, Marie and Rick Shanahan and Dr. Ridgely has done to produce such an item. I call it an item, but it's an invention, ladies and gentlemen. It's really a hologram, literally through the headset, virtual reality, where you're totally surrounded by the program, not just looking at it, that attacks you and you have to defend yourself. So it's not just progressive. It's not just educational. It's not just a workout. It's fun. I promise you. Now, remember, you can go to Google. That's right, Google on your computer and just type in SETVR.APP and you can see what we're talking about and envision what we're talking about. But you can't really understand it until you put on a headset. Now, the headset is really, really cool. Nowadays, you can get involved with virtual reality less than $300. And back in the day, it would be like a minimum of $5,000 just for the headset. Plus, you had to have a high-end PC. But through technology and the amazing people like Reggie Lee, they made it so it's really affordable. So go check it out. Go to Google and type in setvr.app and see what we're talking about. I think you'll enjoy it. So, Reggie, thank you so much for being there last weekend. And thank you for inviting those special people up into your suite and showing them personally how to get involved with setvr.app. Thank you, Reggie. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know, I really miss AJ tonight. I miss Dean, but Dean's on the road. And we want to give all the best to Cookie Monster and hope his wife is doing well. And I want to thank Leo, the producer of the Martial Art Film Festival. And you'll be hearing more about that in the upcoming months. And, you know, every week we try to come into your home and educate you and teach you about sport karate in America and now around the world. Because of Haji Jesse Bowen, our radio show is literally around the world. And we want to thank everybody that's been listening to us for 10 years. And I can promise you that we're going to come up with a really special way of saying thank you to you on our 10-year anniversary coming up January 1st. So on behalf of everybody, the 4 Plus 1, and my co-host and our producer, Jesse Bowen, and the AMAA Network, Parts Unknown, as we always say every week, and we mean it from the heart, ladies and gentlemen, mahalo, ohana, and aloha. Good night, everybody.
Aloha.
Aloha, honey.